Welcome to Beyond a Parent, the podcast for Christians seeking clarity for parenting in a confusing world. I'm Chuck Mead.
Hey, I'm Jeremy Autry.
And we also have a special guest, and his name is...
Darren Wayne Hughes.
Darren Hughes is with us. This isn't the first time he's been with us, right, Jeremy?
It's not. He's been here before. What did we talk about last time? Adoption?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe multiple episodes. You were with us another one, maybe.
Are you the most regular guest we've ever had?
I don't know.
Either way, I think that's James still right now.
I'm just close in proximity, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly. But we are continuing our discussion that we have been on for a couple... really couple episodes already, which is based on the research, what were contributing factors that kids growing up in a Christian home in church, what led them to what were common habits that contributed to the reality that they are still following Jesus, that they are serving in the church, and what was present in their lives, in their homes.
This episode is brought to you by Lifeway Research Group.
We keep saying that. They should sponsor us, but it's okay. But this episode is on music. Why, Jeremy? What would music have to do with a kid's development?
According to the research in that book, what style's not the right word. Genre's probably not even the right word. It's more about... the topic, the focus of the music, and more importantly, the lyrics of the mm-hmm. music. In the research, they found a correlation between the listening habits of kids and families. If they listen to primarily Christian music, there's a higher chance that they would grow up to be active Christians, you know, participating in the church and serving God.
Worked for my parents.
Worked for your parents, yeah.
What would you define as Christian music, Darren?
I think songs that or music that glorifies God. Now, that could look different. That could be songs to God, singing about his attributes, how you worship him for that. But it could also be songs about your life from a Christian perspective.
Okay.
And how he should be living out the Christian life through us.
Would you say that primarily the deciding factor is lyrical? That it's more about the words?
I believe so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know there's so many different opinions on this. This is actually can be in some circles controversial. Because some people will say, oh, the beat, there's Christian beat. or melody, and there's significant differences.
Or that there's something non-Christian about certain instruments or about certain effects that could be on an instrument.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the point we're making with this. I guess the stance that we're taking would be if the music has lyrics, words that make a point that glorifies God.
And I would say in our culture today, it's even especially here where we're at, it's very... common to think of, while it's a wide spectrum, the genre of Christian music, whether that be gospel, whether that be praise and worship, whether that be Christian contemporary. It's a wide variety, but people can at least identify. There's stations dedicated to Christian music. So people would kind of understand, yes, this song would fit into the genre of Christian music, wouldn't you say? So here's what the research showed, that there's a difference, or there is, listening to certain music is a contributing factor to a kid's spiritual development. Now, Jeremy, would we have any a biblical basis for this? What would we look to for scripture as an argument for this?
There's a lot of scripture that talks specifically about music. You know, on the book of Psalms is the first Christian songbook.
Mm-hmm.
And the importance of worshiping through music. Ephesians 5 actually speaks directly to this. It tells us, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the concept, you know, the command really for Christian songs, spiritual songs to be part of our everyday life and mm-hmm. part of our communication. And there's probably a lot to be made out of that concept of speaking to yourselves. You know, the idea of using a song to speak truth to yourself and to each other.
Yeah. So, Darren, is there anything that comes to your mind as you, with part of your role being leading our church in worship? and in leading our church to sing? And what do you see as far as blessings and the significance of singing praises to God as a part of the Christian life?
It affects your perspective on life, you know, how you view everything. I have so many thoughts on all of this. There are good, solid Christian lyrics within any genre of Christian music. Mm-hmm. There are strong hymns. There are some hymns that aren't so great. There's a strong songs you would hear on K-Love, and there are some that are just kind of mm-hmm. fluff.
This episode is brought to you by K-Love.
It was actually his radio, probably. No. So there's good and bad in all of it. But I think even passively listening, that those thoughts, the theology taught in those songs, or conveyed in those songs, or the perspective taught in those songs, get into our psyche, I guess, if you will. Mm. Just like it would if you were only listening to secular music. Somebody may say, oh, I'm only listening to it because I love the way this song sounds. Mm-hmm. It's all about the music. It's not about what it's saying. And I get that. And sometimes we don't even know what the lyrics are saying, but that still gets in our brains, in our conscious subconsciousness, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't grow up in church, and I love music. I love all kinds of music and lots of genres, and it's amazing to me how many lyrics I can just accidentally recall without even thinking about it.
You commercials. Know?
And somebody just says a word or phrase, and a song from the past comes rushing into my head that contains that word or phrase or something similar to it. And without thinking about it, there's all those lyrics, you know, songs from the 80s come flying back in. So there's real truth to, even if we're not consciously trying to absorb and memorize these lyrics, they're just something about the way God created us in music and how it works and how it gets into us, you know, and then it's there.
The poetry of it, the rhythm of it, the melodies, like it's a great tool for us to learn the truths of God's word through some songs.
And remember them, too.
That we wouldn't just by reading it, unfortunately.
Well, and I know that's why when I've memorized Bible verses and things like that, a lot of times what people do is to help them remember it, put it to a song.
Right.
And there's songs that I learned in the Christian school, like learning passages of scripture that they put to a song or rhythm that I still remember because they did that.
Yep.
There's value in that for sure. It's funny, too, how music will actually bring you back to a time, like remind you. And I'm thinking across the board, too, when I hear a different song from like early 2000s rock or pop, I'm like, man, I remember middle school. That was great. You know, and
exactly.
When we were in high school rock. Together,
yeah.
Darren.
Yeah.
So,
Backstreet.
But at the same time, music that maybe Christian music that maybe we listen to when we're going through certain trials or certain moments in our lives can bring us back and remind us what God was doing in that moment. It's powerful, that's for sure. So what would you guys say could be some objections? Because obviously this is Christian families listening to this, more than likely, and maybe they're like, I haven't really just listened to a lot of Christian music. Or what do you think some objections are to listening to Christian music regularly in the home?
That the music is subpar, that could be an argument.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or that it's not my thing. You know what I mean? And which is true in every other category of music, secularly, that some of it might be considered subpar, or that it might not be your thing. And music is so subjective, and it's so much about preferences, you know, that's an easy out for someone who's looking for an out as to why they're not listening to Christian music.
Especially in our context in the rural South, you know, there's going to be more fans of country music, and most of our options in Christian music, at least on the radio, are going to be more pop oriented. So you're like, oh, country music's my thing, and I don't hear a version of that in the Christian world.
Would you say there are some?
It's there, just not as readily available.
Mm-hmm. And that's true for a lot of other genres, you know. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
This is the episode where we convince people to listen to Christian rap. But there are real people who love God and are born again, who are making rap music.
Right.
And
that's not readily available on the Christian radio either.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But that's the beautiful thing of living in 2024, because it's not hard.
This episode is brought to you by Spotify.
Or YouTube.
Yeah.
I mean, it's there, and it's not hard to find. It's different than when, even when Chuck was a teenager and growing up and choosing music. It's a lot easier to find stuff out there. It just takes some legwork.
Well, and I've heard a lot of sharp criticism, too, that most of contemporary Christian music is just like Jesus is my girlfriend's songs, like just where it's just these more love-based, not that there's anything wrong with them, but that they're not as
deep.
Not as deep or for like men to listen to. Like they're like, I don't want to, like this seems like way too fluffy for me. And just like what you said, it might be more of a pop vibe.
The algorithm is for a soccer mom in her mid-30s.
Okay.
And there's a name. I forget. It's not Karen. There's a name that this algorithm goes by for, you know, radio programmers.
It's probably Margie.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
So you would say that is an objection, but the rebuttal to that objection would be, do some digging and you can find some solid Christian music that would fit maybe your preferred genre, whether that be rap or country or more, I don't know.
Choir.
Yeah, choir type. Baptist, hey, I do choir. Love the choir.
Yeah.
Hey, my brother in his early 20s says my most listened to artist on Spotify or whatever platform he uses is the Central Baptist Church Choir.
This episode is brought to you by the Central Baptist Church Choir.
That's from Jerry. It's good.
Go, Jerry. You're the man.
So that's an objection. What would be maybe some other objections other than just don't really feel like it? I love my specific genre.
That they may just see it as background noise. It doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really paying attention to what the song's saying.
Yeah. Yeah. So then when we get into making this be a part, a habit, a part of our daily lives, there's parents who are like, hey, I want to make this part of our family. I want to expose my kids to more Christian music. What would be some advice you would give some parents in beginning that, making that more of a, maybe more like a discipline at first?
Just play it. Have it playing Christian radio or Christian music, whatever form you can get it in through streaming or whatever, in your car, in your home. Margie, my wife, homeschools and says she can tell the differences when she's gotten ahead of things, gotten Christian music, worship music playing, whatever, in the house as the kids are getting up. There's a difference in how that day progresses.
Mm. I'm realizing this, Jeremy, now is, so I'll say what my number one artist is. It's not an explicitly Christian artist. It's Owl City. Yeah, that's right.
But
this episode
first of all,
is for you, Chuck.
It is.
First of all, Owl City's one guy, for those of you who thought it was a whole city made up of owls. But Owl City, the guy,
is a
professing Christian.
And does some Christian music.
He does. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But a lot of his albums may have a few explicitly, like, this is very much a Christian song. Not explicit, like the E.
Yeah,
like,
you keep saying explicit, and I'm like, where are you going?
Yes, no, yeah. Not that
Stop
way.
Stop using that word. We're going to get banned. They're going to put an E beside our podcast.
No, yeah. The reason I bring it up is I'm even recognizing with my four-year-old son, he loves that music and will ask for it over and over again.
Mm.
And then even just today, I'm like, hey, you know what? Like, let's cool off on the Owl City and let's play some Getty Kids Hymnal, which is by Keith and Kristen Getty, and they have hymns.
This episode is brought to you by Keith and Kristen
Getty. Of course. And he like does not want it at first and maybe is a little bit mad because it's not what he wanted originally. But then after I'm playing it, he's just going on, doing whatever, doing his puzzles or whatever he's doing, and then starts singing along with it. So it may be a fight at first with our kids of, I don't want to listen to this. I want to listen to my whatever their top song is of the day or artist.
A couple of thoughts that popped in my head while you were saying that. First of all, in 2024, which maybe this was true in the 80s and 90s, you know, when I was an adolescent, but it's the era of the earbud. It's the era of I'm listening to my music right now. It's the era of our teens sitting in the living room watching TV with one earbud in, and music is just constant.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I mean, I guess it's been that way for teenagers since 45s and big headphones were a thing. But there's a lot of just them independently listening to music.
True.
So there probably needs to be, if you're a parent, you need to think through that. If you're riding in the car, hey, let's experience music together.
Hmm.
This is an art form. I want us, not a point of contention, not a fight. I'm asking you to enjoy this with me. You know, and not pick your battles isn't the right terminology. I almost said that. But come at it so that it's not a battle. It's a request.
Mm-hmm.
And ingest music and talk about it together and enjoy it together. And then the second thing that just popped into my head, and maybe this is a little bit off subject, but I am an admitted lover of secular music. Like, I listen and have, you know, for my whole life listened to secular music. But the truth is, I listen to stuff now that I listened to when I was a teenager, and I blush, and I can't believe the things that were normalized and that were played on the radio, and that, you know, we just sang along and we knew what we were singing about. You know what I mean? It didn't, the lyrics didn't just wash over us, but it was, you know, it was a cool song. And it's scary to think that we're putting that out there for our kids because it sounds cool. It's got a cool riff to it, or it's a fun song, and we're normalizing things. And we've got this voice now speaking into them saying, hey, this is okay.
Mm-hmm.
When we know it's not. You know what I mean? I don't want to get too specific in details, but stuff that we just will allow it because it's part of a cool song and it's pop culture. And, you know, and I'm not saying I think we need to do away with all secular music. I'm not going home and doing that. But as I'm thinking through it, I see some of the real clear and present dangers in just normalizing this sinful thinking for our kids because it has a cool song. It has cool music playing while it's being done.
Right. And maybe it's just, okay, if that song is something, you know, our kids are listening to, or we hear on the radio or hear when we're out, having that conversation with our kid of, hey, you do realize what they're singing about is not something we should promote this lifestyle or whatever their choices, or maybe putting it in, seeing that song and the lyrics through a gospel lens of, hey, like, this is where brokenness leads you. Like, this is where a life without Christ will lead you. It's not, you know, on a path that glorifies God or brings satisfaction or anything. I mean, not that every secular song has to have a sermon attached to it, but just brief conversations. What would you say about that, Darren?
I was thinking that very thing with your first point, and just ask to listen to or see look at lyrics to the songs they're listening to, because yeah, they are listening with earbuds and you're not hearing it. But obviously the same thing with TV, with movies, and but it opens the door to have those conversations. What's the message of this? What's wrong about this? What's right about this? There was some song when my kids was listening to, and it was a sweet song. It was a love song, but it was, you know, one of those typical sappy love songs where I can't live without you. But we don't want to find our identity and whether or not we can exist as a human being, whether or not we have this girlfriend or boyfriend in our lives.
Right.
And just even though that's mild, but it's still flawed. And, there's room for discussion.
That's good. That's just the difference between passive and active listening. And we've talked about that with what we watch, but the same goes with what we listen
to. It's everything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's no realm. There's no area of life that we just get to coast and not think about it. You know, media, phone usage, all the different things that we've covered, you don't get to just take your hands off the wheel and coast in any area. Music is the same.
It'd be nice.
You know, it's true for that. Yeah, but you don't, you know. It's the day-to-day grind of parenting. It's like frying chicken. You know, you can't walk away from it. You got to be there paying attention all the time, even though the grease is popping and burning your arm.
Mm.
Oh, that'll preach right there.
Mm. Amen right there.
I'm hungry now.
Me too. So with the this episode being on music, what would be maybe some music, just like what Christian music is at the top of your listening right now? If you could just share, like, hey, here's what I'm listening to right now.
Oh, I don't listen to much music because of what I do in my profession. I'm always having to listen to music to learn music. So a lot of times I'm riding down the road listening to nothing.
Just to get a break, just to get some silence.
But because I knew you were going to ask this question, I was thinking along the lines of the various genres of, mm-hmm. of Christian music. And it's important, I think most of us think, we think Christian music, we think K-Love. Not that there's anything wrong with K-Love. Mm-hmm. There's good and there's okay. And I'm not endorsing every song by any artist I will mention, mm-hmm. nor do I know every song by every artist I'm going to mention. But if you're more along the more hymn-like, you mentioned the Gettys, Keith and Kristen Getty, Shane and Shane, Matt and Matt, Matt Boswell, Matt Papa,
yep.
those guys. I think if you're really into more of the musicals, Broadway, there's a Christian movie that just came out a few months ago called Journey to Bethlehem. The music is stellar in it. And
really?
It's right at the, I need to listen to it. Country, like old school country, there's a guy named Tim Menzies. Great stuff.
His name is what?
Tim Menzies.
Tim Menzies.
He writes and sings the songs, but they're, yeah. Yeah, you being a, what's that guy on the road? Willie Nelson fan, yeah. Should I say that?
Yeah.
You can
they
say
could assume I'm talking to Pastor Chuck.
Yeah, yeah, Pastor Chuck loves Willie Nelson. He listened to him in 2020 when he was in eighth grade.
Yeah, he was old even then. more of a pop country sound. There's a group called The Sound. Southern Gospel, I have to mention, you know, the more solid lyrics is a group called 11th Hour. Kane for pop or even a slightly country music. Mm-hmm. There's some solid rock, Christian rock bands like Red and Skillet. Probably heard of POD. There's others.
Wow.
Yeah, but there again, not saying every song is right. And there's
right.
These are songs written by flawed human beings. So
yes.
They're not canonized scripture.
That's a very good like reminder. Is sometimes I think people can elevate Christian music artists on the same platform as like a pastor or theologian, and take what like, and I notice this with students like this person, yes,
yeah.
And it's like whoa, and then when that artist has some issues that mm-hmm. come out later, like do we throw out all the songs that they ever don't. You know wrote?
There's a,
we didn't throw out everything David wrote.
Yeah, yeah.
He there's committed a adultery lot of, and murder.
These days, there's a lot of worship music that's coming from particular churches, and mm-hmm. some of their theology is questioned. I could name names, but I'm not going to. Most of you know who I'm talking about. Now, that doesn't mean every song there that's put out by these churches are bad. You've got to have some discernment with all of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's probably value in doing some of the same things with your kids with Christian music,
yep.
talking through the lyrics and yep. let's discuss: is there something here we disagree with,
or yeah.
is this something that could mean something different than what we think it does? You know, there's
not every hymn is perfect.
That.
Not every right. hymn is perfect.
Right.
Every psalm is perfect.
That is true. And that's one thing that Shane and Shane does, and mm-hmm. some other artists like City of Light. They will take psalms and things like that and sing the scriptures. I've learned, Darren, like when I, because I didn't grow up listening to a lot of Christian contemporary music because it was wicked,
evil.
Mm-hmm. But then it's been more like a pendulum swing. So I was like rejecting a lot of the hymns. Oh, whatever, this is old school, whatever. When I discovered Christian contemporary, and now I find myself going back and listening to like finding artists like Sovereign Grace, who will do just like albums of congregational singing mm-hmm. of like songs I grew up listening mm-hmm. to in the church. And it's like, oh man, this is so solid, so good. And it brings me back, but also I'm able to see the beauty in it and to be able to be reminded of just God's goodness in my past and that he taught, that I learned these songs. Sometimes when like Pastor Tom or Pastor Cameron will say, no, not some of only some of you old people know these songs. I'm like, no, I know mm-hmm. these songs. I feel that way. But I like that. And even with some Southern, we've gone back and forth about Southern Gospel. I will turn to WCKB some days and mm-hmm. listen to those. I really do. And
this episode is brought to you by Good Morning Charlie.
Oh, I love the Good Morning Charlie show.
Where but the collards keep burning.
That's one thing that I feel.
Are you sure they're not
that
burning?
I feel God is showing me is to appreciate, go back and appreciate music maybe I was like rejecting for a season.
I'm so and glad things, to see the growth in you.
Yes,
there was a day growth. You know when that wasn't there.
That's true. Yeah. But I'm seeing it,
I
and I'm
credit.
Also you are a contributing factor to that. But that we can experience like learn a lot from many different types of Christian music, but we got to start somewhere.
I just recently, not too recently I guess, but Darren introduced me to some 70s Christian rock.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been listening to, I had to look up his name because I couldn't think of it, Larry Norman.
Mm-hmm.
He's my new favorite. There's some edgy stuff in there, so...
Stuff they wouldn't play today.
Yeah, stuff stuff you might want to listen to before you play it with your kids.
Is he like Rich Mullins?
No, he's
before,
like
older.
Larry wow. Norman. 1972. I mean, yeah. it's pretty cool stuff.
Older than we are.
Wow.
Older than some of us. Yeah, older than both of us. Sorry. Anyway, also, Willie Nelson has a couple of gospel albums, one called The Troublemaker. And I'm not trying to tell you to embrace Willie Nelson's theology. But I will say, if you're a country music fan, and there's a gospel song that's a solid gospel song,
mm-hmm.
and Johnny Cash is singing it, it's still a solid gospel song.
Mm. God eased a donkey.
It's true.
This did. Episode is brought to you by
Donkey Kong.
Yeah, so I don't think that's a bad thing, you know, to listen to a version of an old school country song. I mean, an old school gospel song.
Mm-hmm.
By Dolly Parton, you know, I'm okay with that.
Darren, do you have any other thoughts encouraging parents and making listening to Christian music more of a habit in their homes? Any other thoughts?
Nope, just do what it takes to make that happen. You know, play it in your car, play it in your home. You know, find out what your kids are listening to, and then maybe investigate in your own. Find out like what might be a good Christian counterpart. You know, something that sounds similar to what they're listening to.
That's good.
I mean, they may see it as lame, but you know, they may secretly start liking it.
Yeah. It's probably going to be this nonstop thing, you know, like, well, I mean, I guess it depends on your kid and their musical taste, but I think it's, and I don't know that I've always seen or embraced the importance of it, but I think it's important. I see that it's important, and I think there are times that you have clear control, you know, and you can be playing this kind of music. At the same time, the survey doesn't say if your kid ever listens to secular music, that means they're going to walk away from Jesus. You know what I mean? So it's not, it doesn't have to be this black and white either or. But I hope this episode's helping us think through the value of getting this in front of our kids. More than just Bible teaching, Bible reading, going to church, their own personal Bible study. Let's get some truth into their mind and heart through music and the power of music too.
That's good. And as a side note, if you're like, man, where do I start? You can just do a search for Central Baptist Church Choir. You can find on Spotify right there.
All streaming platforms.
Should we bring up Butler, Hughes, and Hayes too?
Yeah, they're there too.
This episode is brought to you by BHH Quartet.
Find them on Spotify.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to Beyond a Parent. Remember, parenting is beyond us, but in Christ, we have all that we need for this journey.
Peace out.
Say bye, Darren.
Oh, bye, dude.